Sharp Tongue Podcast. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jessie Mae. It is quarantine day 1625. I don't know what day it is. I don't know who I am. I don't know what anything means anymore. I don't know if you feel the same. I can say what I do know is I washed yesterday. That's right, bitches. Mama is clean. She's a mean, clean, quarantine queen machine. Coming to you clean from the quarantine. I like to give a special shout out to all of our new Patreon subscribers. You can be a part of Patreon. Go to patreon.com. It's Jessie Mae Peluso. Oh, I don't know what that weird breath was. If you search my name, you can find me. If you go to patreon.com/Jessie Mae Peluso, you can find me. Exclusive stuff every week. There's a bunch of different tiers you can pick from. Pick whatever tier you want. You get free shit with all of it. You get exclusive shit with all of it. And with a couple special tiers, you get mentioned on the podcast. We have a new member of the Puff Puff Pelusos, the highest tier, I might add, Mr. Johnny C. So thank you, Mr. Johnny C, for being a part of our Patreon club, for supporting, for subscribing. It really means a lot, and it keeps the podcast going, and it keeps it fun, and I'm able to bring you guys amazing content. So shout out to you, Johnny C. What's the C stand for? Is it, can you wash your butthole in quarantine? I don't need to talk about it. Keep it clean. We need to keep it clean. I appreciate you, Johnny C, and to all the other people who are on Patreon, thank you so much. Patreon.com/Jessie Mae Peluso. Also, more fun with Cameo. If you want to hire me to send a custom video to a friend, family member, ex, a boss, whoever, hire me on Cameo. Download the Cameo app on your phone. And there's a whole bunch of other people on there, which is a lot of fun. Some of them are charging crazy amount of money, but you know, I get it. You got to pay your taxes. You can hire me for a measly $27.99, I believe it is. And I will make any video you want within reason. No buttholes. Even though I talk about buttholes, I'm not showing you mine. That's a totally different type of chick, and I ain't her. But go to Cameo. Put the app on your phone. There's a whole bunch of different people. You can hire me. I will make a fun fucking video. It's Cameo app and Google Jessie Mae Peluso. Not Google, but Cameo it. You know what I'm saying. My brain is literally turning into mush the more we get deeper into this quarantine. I miss seeing people. I miss being with friends. I miss doing stand-up. But I am really enjoying wearing sweatpants every fucking day. Every day. I mean every day. I've had meetings. People are loving these Zoom meetings. Your girl's in sweatpants every day. But I am also working out 3-4 days a week. I just ate an enormous plate of mac and cheese. But before that, I had Brussels sprouts. So I feel like I'm balancing it all out. I should probably record what's going to come out of my butt later. Because it's going to be ridiculous. I'm trying to be healthy. It's so difficult. Fuck it. I'm day drinking, okay? This is what the quarantine has in store for me. Just a couple day whiskeys. Never hurt anybody. Did it? I don't think it did. Last time I checked, whiskey got a lot of books written. And I am trying to write a book. As we speak, I'm writing a how-to guide. And I got started. Oh, God. Somebody open up a school, please. A quarantine school. Yale.com, free classes. Go and get learnt, bitch. You've got time. No excuses. You've got all the time in the world to do whatever you want. So go do it. Learn that language you wanted to learn. Paint that picture you wanted to paint. Learn the guitar. Play the piano. Figure out how to pop out ping pong balls out of your pussy. I don't know. Do something other than just sit around and binge on Netflix all day long. I think it's a good time for you to challenge yourself and do something that you've always wanted to do. And if you have kids that are begging for your attention, then stick them in the shed. Speaking of kids begging for your attention, I decided to put together somewhat of a Flashback Friday episode. I found an episode that I never put out on my podcast, so I decided to put it out today. And it is with my platonic podcast partner, a little alliteration for you, Mr. Mike Tully from SiriusXM, and we go into it. We go into it deep. I hope you guys enjoy this special Flashback Friday episode with my podcasting partner, Mr. Mike Tully.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry. I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Okay, you ready to start this show? Your host of the evening is a really funny dude. I forgot his last name, but I've seen him before, and he's really funny. Give it up for Mike. Oh,
coming to you live on tape from the penthouse of a partially completed commercial high-rise in glamorous Hollywood adjacent California. From the studios of Sirius XM West, boasting an obstructed view of one of LA's leading cement factories. This is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully. Joining me today, once again, the first lady of laughs, the queen of comedy, the princess of punchlines.
Oh, God.
The people's champ, Jesse Mae Peluso.
The princess of punchlines?
It sounds like female titles that could be alliterated.
Was that off the top of your dome?
Half dome.
It was pretty good.
I thought about that as I walked through the door.
It's like the queen of mean, but I'm the princess of punchlines.
The princess of punchlines.
Remember I don't know that you are Lampinelli?
Of course.
Yeah.
She's the queen of mean?
Yeah, she's the queen of mean, and I could be the princess of punchlines. Her, I'm not really jokey.
Her comedy has gotten pretty icky pretty quickly.
Where is she?
I think she's still touring. I know we're friendly on the Jason Ellis show with Frank DeCaro, who's a funny comic who was her opening act for years, and she's still out there doing her thing. I gather that she has a pretty gay-leaning audience.
Oh.
But just the stuff that she found her lane. She'd been a successful comic for a while, but what made her something like a household name was her...
Queen of Mean.
And doing the whole... interracial thing.
That's right. And she did like all those
right. And
risky jokes.
And that's the stuff that I think
you get. I mean, today.
It wouldn't work nowadays.
It's just, God. I mean, come on, people. We got to get over it. We can't let words offend us.
But we can let objectifying people bother us.
Can we?
I don't know.
People are allowing themselves to be objectified.
I'm too tired.
I'm not offended by words. I'm offended by intent and action.
I'm too tired for outrage, and I'm too tired to be outraged.
Yeah, you're a little outraged. Tired. You took us on a fucking car ride today. I thought I was going to die.
We took a spin.
You're the untalented Mr. Ripley, because you didn't even murder me.
No.
You couldn't succeed.
Whoops.
Look what I have.
What?
For all those ASMR fucking perverts out there. It's my CVS receipts.
Wow.
Do you know about CVS and the receipt and how long it is?
I have noticed that.
It's so... I love this. It's so long.
Are you ASMR?
I'm into AS. I'm into ass.
AS, as they say where you're from?
I guess it's a little... There's something to it.
I think that women must be more into the sensual, soft sound thing than men are, because there's a bunch of companies popping up making micropods, erotic pods.
Erotic pods. That's what I call my butthole.
Where it's like women themed erotica.
What's a erotic pod? They're popping up everywhere. Where, Tully?
There's companies popping up because they're getting enough of a following to at least get a publicist to have the New York Post write an article about how popular these things are.
Well, what's an erotic pod?
Well, it would be...
What's it look like? Is that like a float tank?
If it's a woman-themed fisting? Erotic podcast, it'll be like a guy who's like talking to a girl about like, hey, you know, your friend's staying over this weekend.
Oh, erotic podcast. I'm picturing a pod like a float tank.
Oh, all pods are erotic.
I thought you meant...
I thought that went without saying.
I thought you meant like a
They're
physical...
They're squishy and they make you feel like an alien life form, and I'm chubbing up just thinking about it.
Tully, I'm talking about the physical place. I'm not happy with this microphone right now. I'm talking about a physical place.
Podcasts are currently a little bit hotter than physical pods. Every dog has their day. Physical pods.
Are we just saying cliches now? Every dog gets their bone.
I'm saying physical.
Another day, another dollar.
Physical pods were big once, and they might be big again, but right now it is
erotic pods.
The podcast. So they're erotic podcasts.
I just figured out the microphone. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
That are directed towards females and...
Is it like dudes are like, oh my God, I'm going to fist you. Oh. Is that like what it is?
No, that would be... No, now I'm getting hard because you sound like a valley girl who's about to take charge of my anus.
Oh my God.
You're like,
this season on NBC. New show.
Fist your butthole.
Like, new show coming to NBC this fall.
I feel like it's like I'm hanging out with like Farrah Abramson after dark.
Oh my God, is that an erotic pod?
So there's erotic podcasts. There are companies that are popping up, and I'm led to believe they at least say that they are popular. They are short podcasts that are aimed at female and user generated. So people can make money by putting up their podcast and seeing if it gets traction. And you said ASMR, which is why I started saying this. It seems to me, because I've sampled these for masturbation purposes, obviously, that... Because whenever they make erotica for women, it's never like about fisting and in out. It's like, oh my God, I think they're doing it in that room. We shouldn't listen, but oh, actually, let's just stand here and listen. It's actually kind of hot out there fucking in the guest room. But I noticed that it is lots of...
It is.
So that leads me to believe that women respond. If anybody is responding to the ASMR thing erotically, it's almost entirely women.
Autonomous.
You know what it means?
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Wow.
I just Googled it, read it, and then remembered it.
Wow.
But you have to learn it and then
You're
teach
that
it.
Good.
You learn it twice. You learn it when you learn it, and you learn it when you teach it. So I just taught you, so I'm smarter.
So now you will remember
I'm
it.
I'm so much smarter now.
You have already forgotten what you said.
Auto-sensory meridian response. I read it again. Wait.
I'm going to ask you tomorrow. Everybody.
Somebody sent me a DM. Maddie B.
Yeah.
He talked
oh,
about
Oh, God,
us.
I think I know that guy.
Do you?
Maybe.
Can I read it?
Yeah, please.
He said, People's Champ. I haven't really read it, so we don't know what kind of wormhole we're going down here. Hey, became a fan of yours because of the Tully Show and wanted to thank you for something you said a few weeks ago. You were talking about the breast cancer-centric organizations who focus on awareness, in quotations, and you said something along the lines of no one focusing on prevention. Thank you for saying that. I'm a radio DJ and hobby comic.
Oh, yeah.
You know him
guy,
in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And one of the organizations we do works a lot with Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition. And prevention is their sole focus.
Good.
So,
right.
Again, thank you for saying that.
Everybody's aware of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Susan G. Komen.
Yeah, you were making that point.
Your work here is done. Go home.
Yeah. We're aware.
Let's find the cure.
We're all aware.
We're all
fucking aware.
You see news stories all the time about how they think they've found the cure for cancer. But I saw... a news story
fucking
the other day
bullshit.
Where they think they found the cure for cancer. And it's way more complicated than people tend to assume because we talk about cancer like it's one thing. They say that each and every one is sort of its own animal. So there shouldn't be a blanket cure for cancer because it's really 1,000 different diseases that all have the same
root
name.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Scientifically, you're questioning my scientific expertise?
Yeah, I am.
Anyway, they think they found a thing that cures all of them.
Yeah, it's fruit. It's soursop.
The antioxidant properties.
I would say...
You're going to go goop on me.
I'm going to go goop on you. Actually, you know what's so funny is I binge watched...
You love goop.
Gwyneth Paltrow's goop just because I was so intrigued by it.
Now,
is
she...
What is this?
Right, is she...
But wait, let me make a point. Okay. Hold on to your Gwyneth Paltrow question.
Making a note.
I think there's more 1,000 ways to prevent and treat cancer than there are... types of cancers. I think there are a bunch of factors that go into causing and exacerbating cancer, but I also think that there are a bunch of ways to implement a bunch of different styles and habits to implement into your life to sort of try to prevent that thing. With the exception of environmental stress you can't prevent or oxidative stress that you can't prevent, but even those things can sort of be
Oxidative stress.
Oxidative stress is what happens inside of your body due to like dietary things and any sort of like reaction to what you're eating. And there's foods that can make oxidative stress heightened and worse.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The way it's been explained to me is that like everybody is born with one bullet in the chamber.
When
it comes to cancer.
Absolutely.
And then your body plays Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just going to...
Yeah, some people are more predispositioned.
No, but like everybody has like... Some people are just going to get cancer. It does not matter.
We should start the podcast like this. Everyone's got cancer.
Everybody has. Everybody listening to this is 1/6 cancer. And
there are someday, all types of cancer.
And someday your body is going to spin the barrel and you're either going to get it or not. But then from there, you can, like Rush Limbaugh, smoke your entire life and you can put another bullet or two in the chamber. You can do
or
this
eat or cheeseburgers
that.
Every day.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or live a stressful life.
Or you can camp on a freeway every night. You know,
people
there's
are
lots
cancer,
of things
though.
That you can bring stress into your life in a way that probably I would tend to agree not in, in the least goopy way possible.
How's my fupa from your POV right now? Is it okay?
Oh, look at that little.
Isn't it cute? It's not bad. I have a little foops.
Man.
Just making sure, because you had total POV. I didn't mean to take you off your cancer soapbox, but
doesn't
I just wanted
matter.
You to check
no, I was just
my soapbox.
I was just, you know what? I missed the fupa because I was enjoying the little tummy roll on top of it.
I do have a little, like my meat doesn't quite fit in these jeans, especially when I sit down, but man, dude, it feels nice. It feels like I'm being held.
Tight, like a tight rubber band around a hot dog.
But yeah, back to everyone having cancer.
Right. So there, you can do everything right and you can still get cancer, but if you do everything wrong, then obviously your odds of getting cancer are much higher. But
right.
There's no way to eradicate it.
No, but then there's those people who live...
We've all got a little cancer.
We all got... There are those people who live completely indulgently.
Right. Yeah.
Completely smoke and they're fine. You know, those people are like, oh, my grandfather George smoked until he was 99 and ate meat every day. Yeah. He obviously had a strong set of DNAs.
Well, also those people have, to further this metaphor, to beat it into the ground, you know, I think there are 6 bullets in a revolver and a handgun. They have 5 out of 6 bullets
in the chamber. You would
know,
you're a murderer.
Not a very good one. And they...
Untalented
and
Mr. Ripley.
When they spin it, they get lucky.
Shit.
You can do everything wrong and still get lucky. So you watched the Goop series.
I did.
I've always been curious...
Not the whole series, okay? I just was, like, curious.
Is Gwyneth Paltrow actually...
An alien, yeah.
Is she that stupid, or is she stupid like a fox?
Our fox is stupid.
Well, you know
is that I mean. A phrase? Is that another, like, Tully cliche?
It's a Simpsons joke, actually.
Oh, okay. Stupid
Homer,
like a fox.
Homer's accused of being stupid, and he says stupid like a fox.
Fucking show. It's so good. I don't think she's stupid at all. I think she's in on the joke about herself.
Mm-hmm. I believe I agree. She doesn't get enough credit for that. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, she is selling people like, you know, spiritual beads to stick inside their vagina. That she,
I got
she,
2 in there right now.
She has to know, and I can see them clearly through your jeans. She has to know that many of the things that she's peddling are nonsense.
Well, nonsense to you. But it's only now if there's spiritual beads. I don't even know if she was selling. Is she selling spiritual beads? I know she's selling
she's
a candle that smells like her pussy.
That
doesn't offend me. I have a candle that smells like my butthole coming out next week. So everybody look for that.
I just put the candle right in my butthole.
Actually, you guys buy the candle and I come over and I fart it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how it smells like my butt. As I'll come over and it's kind of like your birthday where you blow out the candles.
Right.
I blow it out through my asshole.
Right, to the strains of 3 times a lady.
Exactly. Fucking love Tom Jones. Is that Tom Jones?
I don't know what. Not even close.
I don't...
Is that Kenny Rogers?
Spiritual beads... You know what makes spiritual...
I think Lionel
you know
Richie
what makes
wrote
spiritual,
it, though.
You're right. You know what makes spiritual beads work? The belief.
Right, so she peddles magic beans to rubes.
Well, don't
no, don't say
priests,
doctors. Yeah, they sure do. Yes.
You know.
And then I suspect that most priests
psychics don't.
Yeah, and psychics no
some
no,
doctors no. don't teachers. I mean, there's
okay,
there's
wait.
A belief within system.
Every psychic knows that what they're selling is nonsense.
Well, then why do police detectives use them, and why have they helped solve certain crimes? Why have there been documentations of certain psychics who've been able to recollect and
I know what you're getting at.
You know what I mean? Like, they've been able to help them with specific details of a crime and help them find bones.
Pure luck.
Really?
Nonsense.
Really?
I tend to think so.
You have not had an experience.
I was once like a dating member of a family.
That sounds incestual.
No, because I wasn't actually a member of the family.
You just said I fucked my sister.
I was having sex with somebody but I was like the son-in-law who wasn't engaged to the daughter yet.
Why are you saying this so difficult? You were like, I am
one of my girlfriends in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I was like in the family, but I wasn't, I was just dating her.
So you were included in family shit. You were in a relationship with your sister.
I was included in family shit, and the family was very, very prosperous, and I thought fairly put together. And I was surprised when they hired, I think it was a numerologist, to come to the house. Like, when I was a kid, there used to be, like, on tax day, there was a guy that my dad had do his taxes.
Right.
And a bunch of friends would come over, and they would all do their taxes. And they would just take their turns getting their taxes done. They had a guy, I'm sure they got a group rate from the dude. It was the same thing that this family did, only it was with their numerologist, where the entire extended family came over, and everybody took turns seeing the numerologist as if it was their yearly checkup with the doctor.
Okay, so what did the numerologist do?
I don't know. I was invited to take my turn, and I did it.
And what do they say?
Nothing stands out to me. Nothing remarkable.
Well,
I think there was like one or two, like, oh, that's weird. That kind of does make sense, but not, you know.
I think there's just a guy. I'm sorry I got distracted, because can you see the construction guy doing jumping jacks on the top of that building from over your shoulder? He's doing jumping jacks, and I got totally distracted by what you were saying. I just think that certain systems function on the consumer's belief that it works. So
right,
I agree. To the pussy beads. If I believe they worked, I'd shove them up in there.
Yeah. No, the placebo effect is a real thing.
It's a total thing.
Placebos have been shown to work even when people know that they are placebos.
Yes.
Right.
People just want to know something works. And if you give them even an inkling of a possibility, they're going to hang on to it, especially people who are sick. Back to the Gwyneth Paltrow poop. What's it? Scoop?
You know what it is.
Goops.
You watch the TV
Goop.
Show.
Don't come at me. Don't come at me. Gwyneth Paltrow, I don't think she's dumb.
No.
I think she just doesn't give a fuck. And she's just chill. And she's just like, whatever, yeah. I just think she's just who she is. And she's genuine. And she made a company that caters towards women who want to believe in something. And if it's sticking beads in their puss or having their candles smell like their puss, I'm all about it. We need to have more products like that.
I've always said we need more vagina-scented candles.
Absolutely.
I've been on the record with that for years and years and years. The candle, it got a little twisted out of proportion. It doesn't smell like her vagina.
Well, then I'm returning mine.
It smells like vaginas.
I don't think there's a general vagina smell. I work out. I go to the gym. Let me tell you, a couple of them are funky monkeys.
Yeah, that does happen.
Okay. There's not one general smell.
I don't think her candle smells like one of those.
Well,
her and her...
You can't generalize
her
vagina smell.
Gwyneth and her candle buddy were mixing up candles, as you do.
Yeah.
And we're like, does this one totally smell like pussy? And then they're like, fuck it, let's just fucking make it.
Is this on the record? Or are you making this up?
So she called it my vagina.
She
called it my vagina, but it's really just like a vagina.
Well, actually, it's
more
the vulva.
More false advertising. Is it really?
Yeah, she learned this on her show. The vagina is only the womb.
But the candle.
The candle would...
is called my vagina.
It should be called vulva. She made a anatomical mistake there.
Mm.
Yeah, because the woman's whole area is known as the vulva. Like the lips and the clit and all that, like, you know, juicy fun stuff down there. That's the
kit and caboodle.
Yeah, the clit and caboodle.
Ah,
you're welcome.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a little envy there. You missed it.
It was right there.
But you know, I should have been the one that said it.
I've had a long morning.
I know. I spent half of it in your car, thinking I wasn't going to survive.
I've already driven to work twice.
But I think she's just a regular chick. And honestly, the first episode is about her staff going and taking mushrooms together and having a trip, I bawled my eyes out. I was suckered. I was like, oh, I get it. I was sucked right in.
So you're going to do that now, right?
I definitely want to have a mushroom trip for sure. I think it would help me.
Who told you that's a good idea?
A lot of my friends who were into psychedelics.
Right.
Yeah. I have a really good friend who, her name's Jackie Stang, and she's starting this movement in this company called Delic, and it's just bringing awareness to the value of using psychedelics and helping you and how it's a therapy and not just a drug and how to use it as a therapy and not just a drug. So I'm open to it for sure.
That's for real. You're going to do the microdosing thing.
I'm going to ease into it. I'm a very sensitive individual.
Microdosing is absolutely fine. I've always operated on the assumption bordering on knowledge that everybody has like a window of time in which to enjoy mushrooms.
Yeah.
And that's from whenever's the first time you take them until you're like 21 or 22 or so.
Why? Your brain's not fully developed.
I know, because I even read an article about them in Vice magazine years ago that put it really well. There's just sort of like a self-centered oblivion to youth, where you just sort of focus on like, oh, man, my fingers look smaller than usual. And, man, dirt just feels so good to hold on to.
Like a more innocent trip.
Oh, and I love my friends. And then you start to become aware of the negative elements of the larger world more and more, and that you trip when you're in your 20s. And this was always the cliche for the longest time that I remember. You do them, and then you have the one trip where you just kind of realize bad shit. And as great as good mushroom shit was, bad mushroom shit. And it's not going to be like necessarily a bad trip. It usually leads to a bad trip, but it's right. Just more of like you just see somebody on the street be a little bit mean to somebody else and you get so bummed out about why are people so uncool to each other sometimes.
Like on the trip. Like,
yeah.
That's why you can't trip near people. You have to go to nature.
You got to get the fucking lost. Yeah.
Talk about being mean to each other. Nature's a bitch. But like trees, you're not going to see a tree punch another tree. Maybe you will if you're tripping. Yeah. You might.
Anyway, everybody I knew always knew that. If you'd taken mushrooms, this was, you didn't even need to be said. You take them until they don't work for you and then you can never touch them ever again. And now I feel like they're having this whole other life of like the Ari Shaffirs and what have you, that it's like shroom fest and taking mushrooms into your advanced adulthood. It scares the fuck out of me.
But well, any psychedelic should.
Clearly all these people know what they're talking about more than I do.
Yeah, I think the information's evolving as we evolve.
I hope you find what you're looking for.
I think the information is evolving as people are able to see the results and put it into some sort of, you know, actual clinical studies and looking at it from a perspective of healing as opposed to a perspective of tripping. I think the era of tripping out is sort of yesteryear. I think that it's evolved into, you know, people who I know and very successful people on all levels of success are microdosing like every single day.
Yeah.
And these are people who are like running multi-million-dollar companies and who are A-listers. And
It can be done. Yeah, it's such a small amount that.
But that's an elevated approach to psychedelics.
And there's also definitely the thing where there's guided trips where people are tripping balls, but they're with somebody who knows what they're talking about, who can actually help them work through trauma and shit like that. And although I've never personally experienced that, I've had enough experience with mushrooms to be able to wrap my head around how that could work and probably does work.
That's the only way I would do a full trip is in the arms of an older woman who has white hair. Basically Moana's grandmother.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And it calls me. Fucking, she turned into stingrays. She turned into like a herd or flock of stingrays. I don't know what you call like a group of stingrays. A flock, a herd, a group, a gaggle.
Yeah, it's a gaggle of stingrays.
Is it a gaggle of stingrays? But that refers to geese and ducks and they're aerial. They're not aquatic. So it makes me feel like it would be, let's see. I want to say it's a school of stingray. Maybe because they are considered a fish. What is it?
Wow.
What?
Do you want to know what it is?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm like squirting in anticipation.
You're going to love this.
Okay, tell me.
A group of stingrays is called a fever.
I've got stingrays. A fever?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that great?
Wow.
Second only to a murder of crows.
That's what, I know. Yeah. A murder.
A murder of crows. a fever of stingrays.
Wow.
I love that.
That's great.
How did I not know that? Stingrays need a better publicist.
Fever?
Yeah.
Stingrays do need a better publicist. Well, yeah. They kind of lost it. Their PR told them to lay low once.
The Steve Irwin thing?
Yeah, once one of their friends killed
Steve Irwin.
Right,
they're just doing a lot of charity work right now.
God.
And working on an acoustic album,
uh-huh.
Getting back to their roots.
They're out in the desert with Queens of the Stone Age working on their tripping out trippy album. That's what are you fans of Queens of the Stone Age?
I keep on meaning to give them another try.
Mm.
They've always been one of those bands that I'm like, I get
love
it.
Josh Homme, homie.
I think it's Omi.
Omi? God, he is one of the coolest lead singers ever.
He's a very cool dude.
My man is like, you're obsessed with him. I'm like, I am. I send him Queens of the Stone Age videos all the time. I just love the way the dude moves.
Huh.
His their latest music video, he's on roller skates the whole time. And I'm not talking like rollerblades, like dad blades that I know you do on Sundays. You probably strap up your baby in a Bjorn irresponsibly and go rollerblading on the coast. He's in double-double sets of twos.
Uh-huh.
Old school.
And that's cool.
It's so cool.
He is... that's always been kind of their thing. Their music is sort of like kind of unremarkable. Like, it's not like they have these, like, crazy, amazing, like,
wow.
Catchy choruses.
Is this our first fight?
No. Just...
Are you sure?
The music would be very plain were it not animated by... him. He
can't you say that about most bands who have you know, lead singers like that?
No, I think some bands.
Incubus.
Is that your second favorite band? Because I'm starting to zero in on where you're coming from.
I panicked on the title.
A good rule of thumb is
I panicked on a band name and I just threw one out because that guy's got like some you know, he's yeah. got lead man stuff.
Oh, he's got the dude who steals your girlfriend that
yeah.
you're like, seriously, you don't
this
see
guy?
Through this shit?
Yeah, yeah.
He's that. He is that fucking is. Incarnate.
Yeah.
But
You get heated. You get heated in this topic.
Yeah, music makes me angry.
Music ganks you angry?
God, dude,
I'm so
Do I need to keep talking for the
yeah,
entirety
I mean,
of the show?
Jesus.
This is the job description, right?
Don't you have any notes for me? We never get to anything you want to talk
yeah,
about.
No, I do, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about erotic fiction.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Isn't all eroticism fiction anyways?
That's deep, bro. she used to sing for Incubus.
What is erotic fiction? What does that even mean?
What do you mean? It's people, when you're writing a story and then it has... a scene of eroticism in it.
Oh, God.
And
like, what kind of story? Like, those books that people's moms from the 90s used to read when the kids went to school?
I don't mean it like that.
Pet the kitty cat under the blanket, and I'm not talking about the family pet.
No, I'm not talking about the Fabio, you know, women.
Danielle Steele.
Women bursting out of their corset kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a woman with, like, very voluptuous breasts and hard, hard nipples, and they're on a rock for some reason, and the ocean's crashing behind them.
Yeah.
And the
dude
shirtless.
They were always fucking right next to
the
ocean.
Always right next to the ocean.
Which is a pretty skanky place to fuck when it comes down to it.
And water is not good for a woman's, you know.
Yeah, not salt water.
For
anyway.
for the juices.
Right, yeah.
For the vaginal juices. It counteracts the wetness, ironically so.
I know.
Yeah, salt water will really burn your puss hole.
I know. Water will dry out.
Yep.
Go figure.
Go figure.
And I'm also not speaking of the, like, letters to Penthouse erotic made up shit that I used to routinely steal from a newsstand in Port Authority bus terminal
wow.
in New York when
wow.
I was in high school.
Wow, it was really specific.
Yeah.
I think
Penthouse
erotic fiction is probably the precursor to porn, no?
Yeah, people were probably writing dirty stories before they could film them, yeah.
And it's ironic, well, not maybe ironic, but it's interesting to see the evolution of how people consume eroticism. Because if you read it before,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine it doesn't have the detriment to your sexual development as porn does today.
Well,
because you're still reading, and fiction is really good for your brain.
Yeah, that's probably not what they said when the printing press became widespread, and all of a sudden these people are just reading whatever they want, and we can't even control what's in the books. It's driving them all crazy.
That's true.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, the powers that be are always concerned about so many of the paranoias and preoccupations that we have about the internet age, the social media age, are the exact same ones that the world had about pamphlets.
Yeah.
When it became easy to print things. Now there's two sides to that. On the one hand,
like, that homing pigeon's making it too easy for us to connect. We're becoming less connected. We're disconnected.
I'm tired of all these trolls sending.
There's literal trolls.
Nonsense pigeons
literally
to each
trolls.
Other.
Yeah, there's right. Trolls under the bridge. Like, oh my god, you're so fat.
Right.
God,
so
stop trolling me, bitch.
So like, the world obviously did survive the advent of the printing press. And indeed, eventually, we love printing so much that we fund public libraries so people can get books all the time. That was not an issue. On the other hand, shortly after the advent of the printing press was the Dark Ages. So it does seem that when people have a new way of communicating real easily with one another, things get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
And that might be where we are now.
Well, I think it just goes back to us not working on ourselves. We're always looking for external things to fix our internal things.
Yeah. It's deep, man. I wish I could think of one Incubus song to sing right now.
Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there with open arms and open buttholes.
I'm inspired by everything. I'm inspired by my band, but I'm like, I'm inspired by the ocean.
What is that?
I'm inspired by sunsets.
Oh, God. You know who was probably like that? Jim Morrison.
I write poetry, too. I know.
I bet you Jim Morrison was such a douche.
Jim Morrison was probably
such a douche.
The biggest ass clown who ever lived.
Can you imagine going to his house parties? Dude's never got a shirt on. He smells like some girl's snail trail from the night before.
Anybody who comes in, he goes over and puts his arm around them and let me
introduce him on the lips.
You to, yeah.
Kisses everyone on the lips.
Right. I saw the drummer of The Doors sitting in that chair right there just a couple days ago, John Densmore, and he seemed like, you can just sort of read people from a distance. He seemed like a good-hearted soul, and I was going to have him on the show, and hopefully I will soon, because I've always wanted to talk to the other Doors.
Yeah, the actual Doors.
Right.
Because it was Jim Morrison.
Because they're actually like a pretty fun little band.
Yeah.
When you strip away...
I mean, they were the ones doing all the jamming. He just was gyrating without a shirt
king.
On.
Yeah,
they were the ones that were like, Jesus Christ, Jim, this song is 15 minutes long, bro.
Right.
Put on a shirt and let's go get a taco. Can we fucking finish?
Doo-ga-doo-ga-doo. How many more times
are we
going to do this?
Holy shit.
Doo-ga-doo-ga-doo.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I'm probably pissing people off, but The Doors is not my jam.
Oh, I like The
Doors. It's not my door jam.
I like The Doors because you – and maybe I would like Incubus if I was like – 50 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're just, it's a joke to me. His whole, like, I like bands.
What's his name, the lead singer of Incubus?
Brandon. I want to say Flowers. That's the
Brandon,
killer's guy. Moreno?
Brandon Muse?
Huh?
What were you going to say?
I just like bands that have, like, a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, when you just have, like, a cute song and you have, like, a gimmick.
So does Incubus have a gimmick?
Like the Ramones. No, I don't like Incubus. They're terrible. The
Brandon Boyd.
There you go.
They're from Calabasas, California.
Oh, my God. Are they really?
Yeah.
Calabasas. That just made them so much worse.
Okay. Can I show you this photo? You're going to hate the photo. You're going to hate that. That's him right there leaning, goofy.
Oh, he was constantly just
cool.
I put my head down on you.
Oh, my God. And he's
Maybe I'm thinking about maybe closing my mouth later. But for now, I'll probably just hang out.
Douches. Such douches.
He's like Johnny Depp without any of the swagger.
Oh, Johnny Depp is probably, you know, annoying one to hang out with, too.
I'm sure he's...
He's been through some shit, that guy.
I'm sure he's best in small doses. Supposedly,
do you think he answers a door in his Pirates of the Caribbean outfit? Like, you just come, you're like, bro, I'm just here for...
Did you ever see the...
Thought we were just going to hang out by the pool, and he's like, hello!
The Onion article about how Johnny Depp is now just turned into all scarves.
He was in just, like, a lot of eye makeup. He had this band. But it's a...
But I love that he pulled it off. Like, he fully just decided to turn into a pirate Keith Richards in front of...
Yeah.
All of us. And we all just went along with it because we like him so much.
Well, it's a tough industry. I think fame is weird. He's been famous for a fucking long time.
Here it is. Johnny Depp, now completely made of scarves and bracelets.
Like, sounds like an onion.
It is.
Is it onion?
Yeah. Completely made of scarves and bracelets. We have a picture of just scarves and bracelets and a hat on Jimmy Fallon.
Look at that little guy. That kills me. That is so, so funny.
Isn't it great?
It is. It's great.
Yeah, no, and the Onion nails it. They've really...
I think, you know, when a majority of your life has been in the spotlight, you're due for a couple weird a couple weird years and some questionable choices. And that's the thing about, like, celebrity and people demonizing celebrities when shit goes down. Everyone at that point is throwing rocks at glass houses because everyone goes through shit. They just, celebrities do it in public, unfortunately. And, you know, there are dudes out there who aren't paying their child support. And there are women who are, you know, going through divorces and taking men for everything they've got just because they're being spiteful. Like, people are doing shitty shit to each other on a regular civilian basis daily. They just don't have that publicized.
I think that there are certain people who are, like, just put on this earth to live on a higher level than the rest of us, who really thrive on being the center of attention and having just the words that come out of their mouth matter more than the average.
Like, who's an example? Who do you think of, like, in our culture?
Sylvester Stallone.
Like Kim Kardashian?
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. What are you... You said what? Kim Kardashian and you're going to scoff at Sylvester Stallone. Stallone's been a successful movie maker and writer and Oscar winner for like 40 years.
Wait, I thought you meant like somebody, like it was a bad thing. Like,
no, I'm saying.
Because I consider him like a pretty decent person.
Yeah, I think he would be, if it was a world before celebrity,
yeah,
you know, before like mass media and stuff right. like that, like he might be a little bored. He might have gone through his days feeling like, ordinary life was kind of too easy for me.
Yeah, like some people are built for the limelight, is what you're saying.
I could have taken on way bigger challenges.
Right. It looks painful for him to talk.
He's... That's been going on for a while, though.
It seems like it's getting worse.
Have you seen Jackie Stallone?
Who's that?
His mother, who is still alive.
Oh, God, I gotta Google her. Why, does she talk? Does he get his voice from her? I'm never... Look, we have to be careful. We are talking about Stephen... What's his name?
Brandon Boyd.
Sylvester Stallone's mom now. Okay, we've got to be careful because I feel like that dude would murder us. Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a lovely woman. She is. She looks like she would kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, she looks like a tough cookie, doesn't she? I think she was doing like a psychic friends thing on TV not that long ago. Yeah, man.
Her face.
Sylvester's looking pretty good now, isn't he?
As a compliment. Her face to me now looks like what it would look like to me if I were completely tripped out on mushrooms. Like, her regular face looks like a mushroom face to me.
Right.
What I would imagine. And I mean that as a compliment.
Because
it's a hard life, especially as a woman. We got to keep all our shit intact.
So my point is, there's a small number of people who I think are equipped to, like, operate on the world stage. Oh, it's so sensual. I can take a little me time and enjoy that. And then I think there are other people for whom celebrity is clearly overwhelming. And I just know that, like...
Like your Britney Murphys and stuff.
Yeah, like it's hard to have a successful relationship.
Britney Spears. It's just Britney's.
It's especially hard for Britney's.
It's hard for Britney's, man.
Is there a Britney who is equipped to handle life?
No. Britney Snow?
Who's the best Britney?
Britney Snow.
Who's that?
She's an actress. She was in... what was that movie with Anna Kendrick? The cute movie that
everything Anna Kendrick's in is cute.
She's adorable.
She's fucking adorable.
She is adorable. The
God,
movie that what's her name? Elizabeth Banks produced, the singing movie. Wasn't she in that?
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. Brittany Snow is delightful. She's a delightful actress. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guiding Light. Oh, she's let's see right. What else. She looks like a real cute girl. Was she in? Oh, maybe she wasn't even. Oh, yeah, she was in Pitch Perfect. Okay.
My point is this. If it's hard enough to have a successful relationship to pick but one facet of life, anybody who's ever had a relationship knows that. Now imagine if constantly you went through your day and you had prearranged convoluted conversations with strangers, i.e. interviewers, who asked you about your relationship all the time, and then you constantly had to say stuff, and you're just talking, and maybe some days you're a little tired and the words aren't coming, and you say something that's like not phrased exactly the way that you would want to say it.
Like John Stamos when he was really high in that Australian morning show and he was like jet lagged, and everyone was like, oh, he's a day drinker, and he just was exhausted.
Right. But even without John Stamos's rampant alcoholism, which you're in denial about, I'm just saying it's hard enough to have a relationship without people, a bunch of strangers, giving a shit about your relationship and sending you tweets about your relationship. And
yeah.
Stuff. I don't know how anybody does it.
That's weird.
I feel like my marriage is very solid.
Oh, well,
I don't know what would.
I sent out a bunch of tweets just now about your marriage on the rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is bad timing.
And that's what I'll be dealing with
tonight. You're going to have to deal with that.
And I don't need this shit.
Yeah, how does John Legend and
Chrissy Teigen,
their relationship is so much in the public eye. Yeah. She's funny. She's got a really good sense of humor when it comes to trolls and stuff on the internet. She's really funny with it.
Yeah.
And she's like a regular down-to-earth chick.
Well, this is the public persona that we know of her. No, how many celebrities are... Oh, wait. Well, then I
know her personally.
I see.
I looked right into her vulva urethra, and I whistled the Star-Spangled Banner.
Once, twice...
That's
three
not the Star Spangled Banner.
Lady.
Oh,
this song follows you around for all of your genital-based visits.
What is my vibe? We need the fans to say what my vibe is. What's my vibe? We need like a what do you guys consider me as on this?
Did we just kick off the narcissist corner segment?
That needs to be a segment.
The narcissist corner?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Oh,
that it
I
does.
Love that. Everyone has an element of narcissism. We have to. We're in this culture. Every single, even like little babies are narcissists. The way your daughter smiles and you take photos of her, a little narcissist.
Yeah, I've thought about that. There's more photographic evidence that my daughter existed than there is that John Lennon existed.
Yeah. Who?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That guy? Did John Lennon ever look cute in a little fucking panda outfit? Did you put her in a panda costume? I feel like you did.
She was in some kind of...
Was that racial appropriation?
She was in a... Yeah, that's the wrong race you're appropriating. You're being...
Yeah, that's Chinese.
Being incorrectly racist.
Well, what animal's popular in Japan?
Hello Kitty.
A penguin?
Hello Kitty is the native
that's
species.
That's not a real...
They are. They're incredibly endangered.
Those monkeys. No, it's those monkeys. Most popular Japanese creature.
Gonna be Hello Kitty.
Oh my, Hello Kitty.
Yeah, Hello Kitty lives in the same forest as the wild Yoshis.
I'm gonna say dolphins, and then I'm gonna say those monkeys up in the hills. Mm. Japanese Mackay, Shiba Inu, giant that's salamander.
Shiba Inu, that's just a dog thing.
It is a Japanese raccoon dog. I am right here. Mm-hmm. Dolphins not even on the list.
No, because dolphins live in the ocean, not in countries.
Well, you know, they get up there when people eat them. They get chopped up and people eat them. Japanese sero and the wild boar. Wow, they got a lot of animals
there. Was
there.
A wild boar loose in a city the other day.
There was?
In a Japanese city.
God, that must have been terrifying.
The guy who came... Face
they're
to tusk
aggressive.
With it. Yeah, they are.
They will tusk the fuck out of your taint.
Yeah.
You ever get a tusk in your taint?
Boars will fuck you up. No, I haven't.
Lucky.
Erotic fiction.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Do we not even get into it?
No. So sometimes in the course of writing a novel, you want to have like a scene that's so it's not like a
sex scene.
It's not a dirty book. It's a straightforward book, but it's got a sexy scene.
Okay.
And it's, you know, like dirty talk is it's an art.
It certainly is. As a woman, I can attest to that.
What's the worst thing you've heard?
It's not even the worst. It's just like the sexting is a art form.
Yeah.
And people think sexting
might surprise you to find out I'm not very good at it.
I'm not surprised at all. I don't even know if you're good at the sex at all either. I'm surprised you've procreated, honestly.
Solid. Cool.
But this, herein lies the charm of our relationship.
Right.
You know?
Is that you are sex incarnate?
yeah, exactly. I think sexting is an important tool to use in a relationship. And guys, women like descriptive sex just as much as we like blunt ones. You just got to know when to press the gas and when to press
the not gas.
What's the other pedal? The one that makes it not go. The pause break. The break. The pause pedal. Which also known as the break.
Yes.
But as a woman, I can say...
Yeah, I pause at all intersections.
I feel like that was attempted something sexual. Is this a line from your erotic novel? It starts with, I pause at all intersections. Oh, yeah.
So people put together lists of the worst erotic passages in fiction. These are almost uniformly written by men.
Okay.
She said nothing, then her lovely mouth otherwise engaged until he came all over her face.
Whoa.
This is John Updike.
Whoa.
This guy wrote The World According to Garp.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning of the paragraph?
This is the this is the beginning of the book.
Okay, start over, because it's so a dude wrote
she
this,
said
right?
Nothing. Yeah, John Updike.
Of course. Okay.
But he's like a legendary writer.
Yeah, okay.
This is
Let's ask his wife.
In the So there's he wrote The Witches of Eastwick. And
okay.
This is the sequel, The Widows of Eastwick.
Okay.
She said nothing then, her lovely mouth otherwise engaged, until he came all over her face. She had gagged and moved him outside her lips, rubbing his spurting glands across her cheeks
They're
and
They're at Coachella
chin.
This year. Spurting glands, favorite band.
He had wanted to cry out, sitting up as if jolted by electricity, as the spurts, the deep throbs, rooted in his asshole.
What?
Continued, but he didn't know what name to call her. Mrs. Rougemont was the name he had always known her by. God, she was antique, but here they were. Her face gleamed with his jism in the spotty light of the motel room.
No! Tully!
Uh-huh.
No!
She laid her head on the pillow and seemed to want to be kissed. Well, why not? It was his jism.
What?
Having got rid of it, there was an aftermath of sorrow in which he needed to be alone.
There's a foremath of sorrow right now.
But there was no getting rid of her. Call me Suki, she said, having read his mind. I sucked your cock.
So did he imagine her to be somebody else and she just was some
no,
girl?
No, her name is Suki Rougemont.
I'm so conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like...
Chism's a hard word to use to thread that needle.
But also spurting glands.
Yeah.
They're... sophomore album is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You really should check it out.
Yeah, they were on Sub Pop, right?
Oh, God, they're so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, it feels like it's written for men.
It
doesn't do anything for me, but then again, I'm a unique creature.
No, I don't think you are in this regard. I think most women would be repulsed by this.
Is this printed in Braille? Are blind people reading this?
I'm sure they can.
You ever think about that?
Blind people probably do audiobooks more than Braille now. Braille's
yeah,
probably
it's probably like Braille's probably like, you know, dying out. It's probably like, you know, us and actually writing.
People thought they'd have a solid career in Braille. And
I wonder what somebody who was congenitally blind, what they imagine in their minds to turn them on, because they've never had a visual comparison.
Right. Well, you just work with what you got, right? Theoretically, there's a whole other sense that we could have that we don't have, and some creature that had that sense would be like, oh, how could you ever
like
jerk
sonar?
Off? I don't know, whatever the hell it might be.
Sexual,
you know?
Sonar?
Whatever it might be that, like, we don't have, and we're getting along just fine without it because we don't know what we're missing.
Yeah, I think they
so
get
however,
along with it.
So, however,
it.
I think they're probably jerking off to ASMR videos.
You think so?
They just crinkle
sounds.
Up CVS receipts.
Oh,
and,
God, where did I put them? Hold on. For all those deaf people out there.
They so, love that.
It's so good.
It's like,
why are
it's
you
like
reading
catnip.
Me erotic fiction?
I don't know.
Can this be a new segment that
yeah,
we do?
Course. Yeah, I've been trying to do it for like 3 months. Her mouth.
Oh, are we going to do more?
Her mouth lathered.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, his
Christ.
Mouth lathered with her sap.
Her sap?
He turned around.
That sounds really messy. I'm already like reaching for a Clorox wipe.
He turned around and embraced her face with all the passion of his own lips and faced, ready at last to grind into her with the hound.
No. You know what? I'm getting my keys and I'm leaving.
To drive it into her piety.
No. No. Mm-hmm. Now I got to Google a word.
Which one? Piety or
don't,
hound?
Don't. Piety
you don't
or
wanna,
hound.
You don't want to know what he means by sap.
Oh, God. You don't. Righteousness by virtue of being pious. Okay,
yeah.
I know that word pious.
Yeah, piety is the noun of...
It's just the... Oh, God. Hound?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you ever date anybody who nicknamed their dick?
But I do... You know what I appreciate there? The description of the dick being the hound and the puss being...
The piety?
Virtuous and godlike.
Oh, I see.
You know?
So
like
unleash the dogs into the church of her...
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's regarding women in a religious sense, like we're higher beings. So
like
I'm
that.
Down. I'm down.
Okay,
I'll read the rest
one?
Of the book. God.
He what is that from? Oh, Norman Mailer. That guy's like considered a genius.
Okay.
How about J.K. Rowling?
I mean, I don't know if I want to know how fucking Harry Potter's getting down.
Well, this is from her adult novel, The Casual Vacancy.
That's also what I call my butthole.
He retained a memory of her bare pink vulva.
See? Mm-hmm. Vulva.
Right. Now, this is lady eroticism. It was as though Father Christmas had popped up in their midst. He forced his way inside her in their midst.
Oh, so in their midst. Is that like, did she just say her dad went and touched her puss?
He forced his way in. Father Christmas.
Well, I don't. So Santa Claus fucked
yeah.
her?
Yeah. It's way better than your dad.
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
Santa Claus, really?
I mean,
come on.
It's kind of like a stepdad.
Can't be.
Category.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why not too much fabric? He'd smell like cookies, and he probably had some snacks. He's got gifts. I mean, that's a good boyfriend.
If I told you that
he's
found
food.
If I told you that I found Mrs. Claus sexually appealing,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Why?
I
Why?
Mean,
who would be into that?
Let's not psychoanalyze you right now.
She really is. She's like a walking, talking baked good.
Hello.
Right.
I'm into it.
That's for nibbling, not for sexing.
Well, nibbles can lead to sex.
He forced his way inside her, determined to accomplish what he had come for. Crystal moaned a little.
What? He raped her?
No.
He forced himself on her.
He forced his way inside her. She obviously was okay with it.
Was she?
Well, you can force your...
Why? Because of what she was wearing?
You can... You can get consent and still need to maneuver yourself inside. I assume that's what J.K. Rowling is getting at here.
Okay.
Crystal moaned a little, her head thrown back. Her nose became broad and snout-like.
What? Is she a shapeshifter?
Yes, yeah.
Is she turning into...
She's a boar lady.
A succubus?
That's what the
twist...
You know,
a succubus is the female demon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've known a couple.
All right,
we gotta go.
That laugh was so stupid. laugh was so stupid.
This whole show was stupid.
Oh my God, erotic fiction has to be our new segment.
All right,
I'm
well,
all for
plenty
it.
Plenty more where that came from.
Are you
from.
Gonna read me more?
Sure.
Let's read the rest.
Here, we'll just sit around here.
Oh my God, I need to hear more. Oh God, it's so good.
Where are you, Queefy May? Where are you, Jessie May?
I'm in Boston February 6th through the 8th. I'm going to be... Oh, come see me in Nashville. North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina for Valentine's Day. Funkatorium. Two shows. Come see your girl, JessieMay.com. Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Nothing says funky like the people's champ.
Squirt. Spuge demon. What did he say? Squirt gland. Squirt glands. Ugh, God. I'm not going to sleep with that one now.